You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A new frontline investigation into the Flint water disaster airs tomorrow night on PBS stations. It's titled Flint's Deadly Water. The fateful decisions that resulted in the Flint water crisis are well known by now. On April 25th, 2014, Michigan Radio reported that Flint had officially switched its water source from Detroit to the Flint River, a cost-cutting move, they said. That untreated river water poured into people's homes, even as one Flint water treatment manager named Matt McFarlane realized the city wasn't ready. His sister, Tanya Petrella, spoke with Frontline.
I remember specifically the day before they actually flipped the switch. He called me and he said, Tanya, contact everyone that you know in Flint, anybody you care about, and tell them do not drink the water.
And it wasn't long before complaints began. Eventually, Flint and its water crisis were known around the world. Abby Ellis is the director of Flint's Deadly Water, and she is with us now. Welcome, Abby.
Thank you for having me.
You know, that initial stonewalling by state officials and then the lead contamination and poisoning of children in Flint has been very widely covered. But you look at another consequence of that untreated river water, and that's Legionnaire's disease. So remind us, Abby, how soon after the water switch was that people in Flint started coming down with Legionnaire's disease?
So it's actually very shortly after the switch. You know, the first cases of pneumonia are detected in May. The switch was at the end of April. And the first confirmed cases of Legionnaire's disease were detected as early as the beginning of June. And so the outbreak really began right away, and it persisted for, you know, 2014 and through 2015. And as you know, we didn't hear about it from the governor until January of 2016.
And at that point, the state told us that 12 people died of Legionnaires during the Flint water crisis. But I was struck by, in your Frontline piece, Flint City Councilmember Eric May told you Legionnaires is the one they tried to hide the most. In fact, you show us through emails that the state told the CDC, oh, thanks, don't call us, we'll call you, as the CDC offered help with the Legionnaires outbreak. What did you find behind all of that?
So one of the most important actions to be taken during an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease is an alert to the medical community. And the reason being, Legionnaire's isn't that common. If you don't know that there's an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease, you may not test for it. You might not diagnose it. You might just treat the patient with basic antibiotic. And that antibiotic likely won't work if the patient has Legionnaire's. And they can continue to get sick and in some cases die. So what we found is, like, the most important action to be taken is to tell people, is to be upfront, is to identify the source of the outbreak and disinfect it. And what happened in Flint is this wasn't made public until 18 months after. And that's very unusual. You know, we talked to experts in other cities around the country who've dealt with outbreaks. And they say, you know, after one case of Legionnaire's disease, that is enough to launch an investigation to, you know, search for the source so that you can decontaminate it. When in Flint, you know, in just the summer of 2014, you have case after case after case, total confirmed 90 cases. But what we're looking at is the number of pneumonia cases and the number of pneumonia deaths, which in some cases may be undiagnosed cases of Legionnaire's disease.
Yeah, it was stunning to watch your reporting as you looked at these pneumonia deaths in Flint in Genesee County, going through these death records, realizing that doctors were never alerted by the county. Tell us what happened the day that warning email was supposed to go out.
The person responsible for sending the email wasn't in that day. And the alert only went to about 15 people. And, you know, we spoke to a number of physicians in the area who were not made aware, who actually didn't know about the outbreak, again, until 2016 when the governor holds this press conference. And so, you know, we spoke to doctors at Hurley Hospital who were saying they were hearing rumors about an outbreak of Legionella, but they couldn't confirm it. And again, it's so important that doctors in the community know that there is an outbreak so that they can adequately treat their patients. And so what we found was that, you know, while cases of Legionnaire's disease were popping up, there were also cases of pneumonia and there were deaths and at an unusually high rate for the summertime.
And the other thing you looked at were people who were diagnosed with Legionnaires during this outbreak, among those 90 diagnosed cases who survived but later died.
Yes, and that's also a tragic part of all of this. You know, Legionnaires is a very severe form of pneumonia, and it hits hardest the people who have compromised immune systems. But what we know about, you know, impoverished communities is that there is just a higher rate of chronic illnesses. And so Flint was at an increased risk for the disease, for an outbreak. And those who survived the disease, there's a 30-day window that the state health department uses. It's sort of the standard methodology. If you die within 30 days of getting the disease, you count towards the death toll of the outbreak. And because Legionnaires is so severe and it takes such a toll on somebody's health, we decided to look at the number of victims who survived initially but died in the months and years prior, and we found 20 people, 20 additional people who've died.
And even in the in reference to the 12 cases the state will confirm, as we see in your piece, the state says, well, we can't definitively link those deaths with the water because they never tested the water for Legionella.
Correct. They say, you know, we can't definitively say whether or not the outbreak is related to the water switch because, you know, they say not all of the cases had residents who lived on Flint water and because they didn't test the water. So a lot of the actions that needed to take place during an outbreak to determine what the source was, those actions just weren't taken. And so, yes, by 2016, they couldn't say for sure because they hadn't done the work to decipher whether or not, you know, the outbreak was correlated to the switch.
In your frontline piece, we meet a Wayne State University civil and environmental engineering professor. His name is Sean McElmurray. The state, as you show us, invited him in to investigate Legionnaires. Here's a clip from your frontline piece. This is Sean McElmurray describing a conversation with then Health and Human Services Director Nick Lyon.
The scientists say they met with Nick Lyon to urge him to step up surveillance for Legionnaires cases.
I remember my colleague telling him that if he didn't do that, you know, people could die. Unfortunately, Nick Lyon's response was that, well, they have to die of something.
Now, I know his attorney is saying Nick Lyon did not make that crass remark, and he blames any delays on the scientists. And the scientists also clash with former chief medical executive Dr. Eden Wells over whether to test and access to testing residential water for Legionella. Why did things go so badly between the scientists and the state, which had asked them to look into the outbreak?
That's a very good question. It's a question we had going into this. I've never in my career spoken and worked around so many scientists and medical professionals who had such a contentious relationship with the state. And, you know, it's very interesting that as they've contracted these guys out to investigate the source of the outbreak of Legionnaires, there's also a criminal defense being mounted. And this very health department that's overseeing this investigation to identify the source is also coming under fire by the special prosecutor and the attorney general. And so, you know, there are a lot of very interesting questions around that. I mean, might you not want to know what the source of the outbreak was? Because then the state was very intricately involved in the decision to switch Flint to the river. They were intricately involved in the decision to turn on the plant before it was ready. And so when you have this grave, these grave consequences, including the outbreak of Legionnaires, I mean, you know, you could speculate as to why maybe they didn't want the source to be identified.
Now, we see in your frontline piece, you made a lot of efforts to reach out to the state and talk with the key players, didn't you?
So many efforts, yes. Yes, it's very difficult to report on something that's also undergoing a criminal investigation. And, you know, they had been investigating the state health department, the Department of Environmental Quality, and certain people in the governor's administration for several years by the time we got into this. And so we reached out to, you know, to everybody, to Nick Lyon, to Dr. Eden Wells, to the governor's aides, and nobody could talk to us. And they cited ongoing litigation, which made it very difficult. You know, we want to give that side of the argument, you know, time to explain to us what they were thinking at the time. But unfortunately, due to the criminal investigation, no one was able to talk to us.
Well, even folks who think that they know a lot about what happened in Flint will learn things by watching this new frontline investigation into the Flint water disaster. Again, airing tomorrow night on PBS stations called Flint's Deadly Water. Director Abby Ellis, thank you for spending time with us on Stateside.
Thank you so much.